الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger. I'd like to begin this evening in this number 18, the 18th lecture in our series of lectures concerning al-aqidah al-islamiyah from the book al-lum'at al-i'tiqad al-hadi ila sabil al-rashad by Imam Abu Muhammad Abdullah ibn Ahmed ibn Muhammad ibn Qudama rahimahullah. Just briefly to mention the points which we discussed in last week's lecture, we mentioned the explanation of point number 63, in which Imam ibn Qudama rahimahullah discusses some of the matters related to the next life, to the day of resurrection or the day of judgment. And he says in that point, والصراط حق يجوزه الأبرار ويزل عنه الفجار. That الصراط, the bridge, it is true, it is a reality, and it is that which would be crossed over, yani the crossing over the hellfire, by الأبرار, the righteous, the good people. And as for the fujjar, the evil and wicked, they will fall from the sirat into the hellfire. And here, just briefly, the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, hafizahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, discussed in the sharh al-sirat, the linguistic and technical meaning of al-sirat, and he said that the linguistic meaning of al-sirat is a tariq, or the way. And the technical meaning, it means the bridge which is extended over the hellfire, so that the people who are going to enter the paradise may cross over the hellfire to enter the paradise. And this sirat, or this bridge, is confirmed in the Quran as well as in the authentic sunnah and the sayings of the early generations of the Muslims. Also, we mentioned briefly the discussion or the difference of opinion of some of the scholars concerning al-wurud that's mentioned in the Quran, whether or not it means that the people, that everyone who crossed over the sirat would actually go into the hellfire, or it means that they would pass over it. And we said that both of the opinions are applicable. Those that everyone would enter the hellfire, it means the disbelievers, that all of the disbelievers, no one of them would cross over the sirat except they would fall into the hellfire. As for the believers, some of them will pass over without entering the hellfire, while others, due to their sins or their actions in this world, they may fall into the hellfire and be punished for some time as Allah wills, and then due to their tawheed, because they died on tawheed, will somebody take the papers from there? Then they would be released eventually from the hellfire and into the paradise. Also, the Shaykh discussed the description of al-sirat, and he said that it was a bridge that had clamps or hooks on it that would grab the people as they fell off, and that it was slippery, and also that it was thin as a strain of hair and sharp as the sharpness of a sword. And all of these, he mentioned the hadith concerning them. And then he also discussed how the people would cross over the sirat, the speed at which the people would cross. Some of them would cross at the speed of the blinking of an eye, some at the speed of lightning, some as the speed of a strong wind, and others like fast horses or camels, and some of them would go across crawling, and some, the last of the ones who would pass over like a person who was being dragged over the bridge. Some of the people would cross over and escape without any harm, and some harm would be caused to them, but they would cross over the bridge. And the next point, Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah mentions, point number 64, وَيَشْفَعْ نَبِيُّنَا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي مَنْ دَخَلَ النَّارِ مِنْ أُمَّتِهِ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكَبَائِرِ. That our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would intercede, he would make intercession for those who would enter the fire from his ummah, from the Muslims, those of the Ahl al-Kabair, those are the people who committed major sins, who died having committed major sins from which they didn't repent from. Because those who repented sincerely, Allah accepts their repentance, and they wouldn't be held account. But those who died without repenting, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he may punish them justly, or he may forgive them if he wills. So he would intercede for those of the people who committed major sins. فَيَخْرُجُونَ بِشَفَاعَتِهِ بَعْدَمَا احْتَرَكُوا وَصَارُوا فَهْمًا وَحَمَمًا فَيَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ بِشَفَاعَتِهِ. Then those people who were from amongst the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who died on Tawheed, but died having committed sins, major sins from which they didn't repent, they would come out due to his intercession. After they were burned up like coals or charcoal or ashes, and then they would enter the paradise by the intercession of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And finally he mentioned in point number 65, وَلِسَائِرْ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ شَفَاعَةِ. And he mentions the proof of this, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, verse 28, وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا لِمَنِ ارْتَضَى وَهُمْ مِنْ خَشْيَتِهِ مُشْفِكُونَ. He said that also the remaining prophets, and as well the believers, the mu'mineen, and the angels would also have a means of intercession. And this is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anbiya, that they would not intercede. Yani no one would be able to intercede except those whom Allah is pleased with. Except the one who Allah is pleased with, he is the only one who would be allowed to intercede. And likewise, he would only be allowed to intercede for one whom Allah is pleased with. And they stand in awe for fear of him. Yani those who would intercede, this would be their condition, that they would be standing in awe and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally he said in point number 66 concerning al-shafa'ah, وَلَا تَنْفَعُ الْكَافِرُ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِعِينَ. That the disbeliever, the pagan disbelievers, they would not get any benefit. There would be no benefit for them from the intercession of those who could intercede. Whether from amongst the prophets, the angels, or the believers, if anyone wanted to intercede for the disbelievers, no disbeliever would benefit from the intercession of anyone who would want to intercede for them. And here the Shaykh mentions in brief the definition, linguistic definition of a shafa'ah. It means to make that which is ard even, to make an ard number even. And the technical meaning, it means to intercede or to speak up for someone on their behalf in order to gain some benefit for them or to prevent some harm from coming to them. And then he said that al-shafa'ah on the day of resurrection is of two types, al-khasa and al-ama. The khasa is that which is special for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-ama is that which would be for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as others besides him amongst the prophets, the angels, and the believers. And then he said that the al-khasa, from amongst that which is khasa or special, particular and exclusive for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would be al-shafa'ah al-uzma, or the great intercession at the time when all the people would be gathered for resurrection, for the judgment, and it would be a terrible scene and the people would be in fear, and they would go to the various prophets from Adam alayhi salam to Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa alayhi salam, and all of them would excuse themselves until they finally would go to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would be allowed by the permission of Allah to intercede in order for the judgment to begin. This type of intercession is exclusive for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also from amongst, and then he said the general intercession that is am, it is the intercession which other prophets would participate in, and as well the angels and the believers. It is the intercession for the people who committed major sins. that the other prophets, as well as the angels and the believers, would be allowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to intercede for some of the people who are in hellfire due to their commission of major sins and not repenting from them. This intercession is general. It is for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well as others besides him. This is the end of what we mentioned, except that he mentioned here that there were some groups who had deviated from the madhab or the position of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that is the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij, who didn't accept this general intercession for the people who committed major sins due to their belief, their false belief, that the people who committed major sins were to be in the hellfire eternally. Yani they believed, the Khawarij believed, that the person who committed major sin is a kafir and he would be in hellfire forever. And the Mu'tazila had a similar belief, except that they said the one who commits major sins is not a believer nor a kafir, but he is in between the two. In the end he would be in the hellfire forever, like the Khawarij said. So their opinion is basically the same. And the numerous hadith and mutawatir that have been reported authentically from the Prophet ﷺ prove their opinion to be wrong. And finally, the Shaykh says that there are two conditions for shafa'ah. One of them, that there's no shafa'ah except by permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is as mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 255. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِي. Who is it that can intercede in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except by his permission? And of course we said, who can intercede? This is a question form, but the meaning of it is negation, that no one can intercede in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except by his permission. And the second condition is that the pleasure of Allah. It is the pleasure of Allah that no one can intercede except the one who Allah is pleased with, or no one can intercede for anyone except whom Allah is pleased with, as we mentioned from Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, verse 28. And finally, the Shaykh closes with the last point of Imam Ibn Qudamah, that no intercession would benefit the disbelievers, and this is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Mudaththir, verse 48, فَمَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِعِينَ, that the intercession of those who could intercede would not benefit them, and this is in reference to the kafirs. The exception to this is the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for his uncle Abu Talib, who he would be allowed to intercede for him, not for him to come out of the hellfire, but simply that his punishment would be reduced. And this is one type of intercession, reduction of the punishment of those who are in the hellfire, which is also an exclusive type of intercession for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And some of the scholars mention the various types of intercession, and as we discussed previously in our explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah, in which Imam Al-Tahawi rahimahullah mentions the subject of intercession, and here some of the scholars mention the various types of intercession, and in the explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah, 8 types of intercession are mentioned. One of them is general, for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the others, and that is the intercession for the people who committed major sins, and the others are exclusive for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From amongst them is the great intercession at the time when the people will be standing waiting for the judgment begin, to ask Allah to begin the judgment. The second of them is the intercession for the people whose good deeds and bad deeds are equal, so he will intercede for them to enter paradise. Yani their deeds will be equal, their balance will be equal, and he will intercede for them to turn the scale on the good side and allow them to enter the paradise. The third of them is the intercession for another group of people who had been ordered to enter the fire. They were supposed to enter the fire, and he would intercede for them to prevent them from entering the fire so they would not enter it. Also, another type would be an intercession for the raising of the ranks of those people who would be in paradise, but their station in paradise would be raised up beyond what they would have reached due to their deeds. And another type of intercession is the intercession for the people to be entered into paradise without an account. Those who would enter the paradise without any account being taken of them, they would enter the paradise in this way by intercession from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the next type is intercession of lightening the punishment for those who deserve it, and this is the category under which the lightening or the reduction of the punishment of Abu Talib comes under. The last type of intercession that is exclusive for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is permission, is the intercession for permission to be granted for the people to enter the paradise. Yani for all the people, the believers of all of the previous nations, the followers of all the prophets who are going to enter paradise, there would be intercession from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the people to enter the paradise, and he would be the first of the people to enter the paradise. So this is what we wanted to cover from the points from last week. And today, in today's lecture, we want to go on to the topic, to the last topic related to the matters, or those things that we are required to believe in, of the unseen matters that we are required to believe in, which have been reported to us by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these are the matters that we have been discussing for the last few weeks. From amongst them are things of the past, history, that happened historically of the previous nations, and he informed us of those things. And from amongst those things is that which happened with the Prophet Musa alayhi salam when the angel of death came to him to take his life, and he knocked out the eye of the angel of death. This is of reports of the things that happened in the previous nations. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam informed us of it, and we are required to believe it. Of the things that will happen in the future are the things related to the signs of the judgment day. The signs of the judgment day, such as the coming of Dajjal and the Antichrist, the descending of Isa alayhi salam in the last days, the beast that would come forth from the earth, the rising of the sun from the west, and so on. From amongst those signs, those of which are major and those of which are minor, of the things which are going to happen in the future, we are also required to believe in them. And from amongst the last of the things that Imam Ibn Qudama mentioned are the things related to death, the punishment in the grave, the resurrection, the weighing of deeds, the scales, the books, and such things. And the last of them that he mentions in these last points is related to Al-Jannah wal-Nar. In point number 67, Al-Imam Ibn Qudama rahimahullah says, Wal-Jannah wal-Nar makhluqatan la tafniyan. That the paradise and the hellfire are two created things that will never cease to exist. فَالْجَنَّةُ مَأْوَى أَوْلِيَائِهِ. The paradise, it is the final resting place of the awliya of Allah, the friends of Allah, those who have iman and taqwa. وَالنَّارُ إِقَابٌ لِأَعْدَائِهِ. And the hellfire, it is a punishment for his enemies, the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who disobeyed him and disobeyed his prophets and messengers. وَأَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ فِيهَا مُخَلَّدُونَ. And the people of the hellfire, they will be in it eternally, yani forever. They will never come out of it. And here Imam Ibn Qudama mentions as a proof of this, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Zukhruf, chapter 43, verse 74 and 75, إِنَّ الْمُجْرِمِينَ فِي عَذَابِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدُونَ. That verily the mujrimun, the criminals, the disbelievers, the pagans and the wrongdoers, that they will be in the punishment of the hellfire khalidun, yani in it eternally, forever, never to come out of it. La yufattaru anhum wa hum fihi mublisun. They will be in this condition and it will not be reduced, it will not be lightened. The punishment in the hellfire for them will not be reduced and it will not be lightened. It will go on and on and on, and they will be plagued, or they will be plunged or thrown into destruction with regret and sorrow and despair. This will be the condition of the mujrimun, the disbelievers, the pagan disbelievers. Here, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen in his explanation first discusses, and this, each of these points he discussed very briefly, they can be discussed in much more detail and need to be read about in more detail. He says, the paradise and the hellfire. The linguistic meaning of Al-Jannah, it is Al-Bustan, Al-Kathir, Al-Ashjar. The linguistic, literal meaning of Jannah, it means a garden that has many trees, a garden full of trees. The legal or technical meaning in Islam, it means the place or the home which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared in the next life for the muttaqeen, for the people of taqwa, the people who have taqwa, who have fear of Allah, piety and righteousness. It is the home in the next life, which Allah has prepared for the muttaqeen, the righteous, the believers. As for the nar, linguistically he said the meaning of nar is known, it is ma'ruf, it is the fire. Everyone knows what is a nar, it is fire. But the legal technical meaning in Islam, it means the place or the home which Allah has prepared in the next life for the kuffar, the kafirun. It is the place which Allah has prepared in the next life for the disbelievers, the pagan disbelievers. This is the technical meaning of an-nar, the home of the disbelievers in the next life which Allah has prepared for them. And here the Shaykh says that these two created things are present and existing now. They are not something to be created in the future, but they are already created. They are already in existence. And one of the proofs of this, he says in Surah Al-Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 133, وَعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, yani that the paradise has already been prepared for the muttaqeen, for the people of taqwa. It has already been prepared. And as for the hellfire in Surah Al-Baqarah, a similar expression came in chapter 2, verse 24, وَعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ, that the hellfire has been prepared. It has already been prepared for the disbelievers. And here the Shaykh says that preparation, the meaning of this word, وَعِدَّتْ, preparation, it means that something has already been set up. It is ready. It doesn't have to be, nothing has to be done, but it's already prepared and ready. And also, this is the first proof that the hellfire and the paradise already exist, because Allah used the word that it is already prepared, that it is ready for them. That means it already exists. And another proof is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim rahimahumullah. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the occasion when he performed the salat of khusuf, the salat of al-khusuf, and we studied this hadith in the Fiqh al-Hadith class when we talked about the prayer for the eclipse. On that occasion, in one of the hadiths, it's reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inni ra'aytu al-jannah fatanawaltu minha 'unqudan walau akhadhtuhu la'akaltum minhu ma baqiyat ad-dunya wa ra'aytu an-nar فَلَمْ أَرَى كَالْيَوْمِ مَنْظَرًا قَطْ أَفْضَعَ مِنْهَا. This hadith is reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. He said that I saw, the Prophet ﷺ said that I saw in the paradise a bunch of grapes, and I was intending to take a hold of it, and if I had taken it, you would have eaten from it as long as this world remained. Yani, it wouldn't have ended. You would have been eating from it until the end of this world. And also, I saw in the fire, or I saw the fire, and I didn't see any sight until today more fearful or frightening or horrible than the sight of the hellfire. I have never seen anything more frightful or horrible than the sight of the hellfire. Then the Shaykh says, concerning the issue of whether or not the paradise and the hellfire will ever cease to exist. Yani, do they have a time period? Like this world, it has a time period. Though it lasted for a long, long time since Allah created the heavens and the earth, but they are not meant to last forever. Is it likewise for the paradise and the hellfire that at some point they would cease to exist after thousands or millions of years, or will they exist eternally? And here the Shaykh says that both the paradise and the hellfires, Al-Imam Al-Qudam rahimahullah said that they are both eternal. They will never cease to exist. And this is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Bayyinah, chapter 90, I don't know, I think 96, can someone check? Verse 8. Huh? 98, naam, jazakallah khair. Chapter 98, verse 8, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, جزاؤهم عند ربهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا. This is the point of reference, خالدين فيها أبدا, that the reward of those who did good, their reward with their Lord would be gardens of Eden, underneath which rivers flow, خالدين فيها أبدا, and they would remain in it forever and ever and ever. The ayat concerning the eternal existence of the paradise are many. They are many. This is only one of them. As for that which is related to the hellfire, it has been mentioned in Surah An-Nisa in three places, and from amongst them is the verse in Surah An-Nisa chapter 4 verse 168 and 169, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about those who believed and those who did injustice or wrongdoing, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَظَلَمُوا لَمْ يَكُنِ اللَّهُ لِيَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ وَلَا لِيَهْدِيَهُمْ طَرِيقًا إِلَّا طَرِيقَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. And again, in this ayah, the end of the ayah is the point of reference, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا, that verily those who disbelieve and do ظُلْم, injustice or wrongdoing, meaning kufr or shirk, the worst of it, and other such wrong acts, then Allah would never forgive them, nor would Allah guide them to a way, yani to a right way, those who continue to disbelieve and do injustice, except the way to the hellfire, and they would abide in it forever. Also other verses concerning the eternal nature of the hellfire, he mentions here from amongst them, Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, verse 64 and 65, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَعْنَ الْكَافِرِينَ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ سَعِيرًا, that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed the disbelievers. And the la'an of Allah, it means that Allah caused them to be far removed from His rahmah, from His mercy. So Allah cursed the disbelievers and He prepared for them a blazing fire, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا, and they would remain in it forever. Also in Surah Al-Jinn, chapter 72, verse 23, وَمَنْ يَعْسِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا, that verily those who disobeyed Allah and His Messenger, that verily for such a person is the fire of hell, to abide in it forever. And finally he mentions of the many ayats, the ayat that Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah mentioned in his, in the text of the book from Surah Al-Zukhruf, chapter 43, verse 74, and 75. Concerning the place of the paradise and the hellfire, the Shaykh says that the Jannah, it is in the highest of high places, A'la Aliyin, and this is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Mutaffifun, chapter 83, verse 18, Kalla inna kitab al-abarari lafi عليين, that nay, verily, the record, the book, the record of deeds of the abrar, the righteous, those who do good deeds, who do acts of obedience to Allah, their book would be in عليين. And the other ayats concerning this, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عِلِّيُونَ كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ, and what would make you know what is the عليون? It is a book that has been inscribed, a book in which the deeds of the people are written in. And the Shaykh says, the Prophet ﷺ made clear what is the meaning of this in the hadith that is reported on the authority of Al-Bara ibn Azib, and it is an authentic hadith. He said that the Prophet ﷺ, when discussing the fitna of the grave, the test and the trial and the punishment in the grave, he said in a lengthy hadith, فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ اُكْتُبُوا كِتَابَ عَبْدِي فِي عِلِّيِّينَ وَأَعِيدُوهُ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say, write the record or the book of my servant, meaning of the righteous servant, the good people, the believers, write the record of my servant in عِلِّيِّينَ, and then return him to the earth. Yani take him back down to earth, to the grave where he is buried. He would be taken up to the heavens, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say, write his deeds in عِلِّيِّينَ. That's a high place. And then after that, he will return back to his grave. As for the hellfire, he said that it is in the lowest of low places, أَسْفَلْ سَافِلِينَ. And this is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in Surah Al-Mutaffifun, chapter 83, verse 7, كَلَّا إِنَّ كِتَابَ الْفُجَّارِ لَفِي سِجِّينَ. Nay, verily, the record of deeds or the book of the evil, the sinners, the wicked pagan disbelievers, it will be in Sijjin. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا سِجِّين كِتَابٌ مَرْحُومٌ. And what will make you know what is Sijjin? It is a book, a register, a book of the records of the deeds of the people. And these people, the evil and wicked people, their record will be in Sijjin. The Prophet ﷺ said in the same very previous hadith, reported from Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet ﷺ would say, and for that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say concerning the wicked or evil people, he said, فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى اُكْتُبُوا كِتَابَ عَبْدِي فِي سِجِّين فِي الْأَرْضِ السُّفْلَى. Then Allah, the Most High, He would say, write the record of my slave or my servant, the evil one, in Sijjin, in the lowest earth, and in a very low place, the lowest earth. الْأَرْضِ السُّفْلَى, the lowest earth. So these are proofs that the paradise is in the highest of places and the hellfire is in the lowest of places. Concerning the people of paradise and hellfire, the Shaykh says that the people of Al-Jannah, they are every believer and pious person. The people of Jannah, Ahlul Jannah, they are every mu'min and taqi, every one who has iman and one who has taqwa. And this is because they, the people who have iman and taqwa, they are the awliya of Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in another place, that the awliya of Allah are those who believe and those who have taqwa. Here, the people who have iman and taqwa, the people of Jannah, the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the paradise would be for these people in Surah Ali Imran chapter 3 verse 133, that the paradise, he says, Riddat للمتقين. It has been prepared for the muttaqeen, the people who have taqwa. And in another place in Surah Al-Hadid, chapter 57, verse 21, he says, أُعِبْدَتْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. That it has been prepared for those who have iman in Allah and His messengers. So these two verses are a proof that the people who the paradise has been prepared for are the people who have taqwa and the people who have iman, and the people who have these two qualities, taqwa and iman, they are the awliya of Allah, they are the ahl al-jannah. As for the people of the hellfire, it is every disbeliever and wretched person, every kafir, shaqi. And here he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning the hellfire in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 24, Uiddat lil-kafirin, that has been prepared for the disbelievers. It has been prepared for the disbelievers. So amongst the people of hellfire are all of those who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second characteristic of the people of hellfire are the wretched, evil people, as mentioned in Surah Al-Hud, chapter 11, verse 106, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that from amongst those people, from amongst the people, humanity, فَمِنْهُمْ شَقِيٌ وَسَعِيدٌ, that there are two groups of people, those who would be wretched, that is the people of the hellfire who would fall into the bad condition, and the Sa'id, the people who will be fortunate and blessed, the happy people, they are the people of paradise. Then he says concerning this, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ شَقُوا فَفِي النَّارِ. So as for those who are wretched, evil wrongdoers, then they would be in the hellfire. So these are the characteristics of the people of hellfire, those who disbelieve and the wretched ones who did evil and wrongdoing. This is the end of the points that the Shaykh mentions concerning the hellfire. But just briefly, I wanted to make some further comments. And it is from the statement of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi rahimahullah in his book Al-Aqeedah Al-Tahawiyyah. In that book, he also mentioned a similar statement as did Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah. And he says, وَالْجَنَّةُ وَالنَّارُ مَخْلُوقَتَانِ لَا تَفْنَيَانِ أَبَدًا وَلَا تَبِيدَانِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى خَلَقَ الْجَنَّةَ وَالنَّارَ قَبْلَ الْخَلْقِ وَخَلَقَ لَهُمَا أَهْلًا فَمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ فَضْلًا مِنْهُ وَمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْهُ إِلَى النَّارِ عَدْلًا مِنْهُ وَكُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ لِمَا قَدْ فُرِغَ لَهُ وَصَائِرٌ إِلَى مَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. That the Jannah and the Paradise are two created entities. They will never cease to exist. They will never go out of existence. For verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the Jannah and the Nar before He created the creation. And He created for both of these places, the Jannah and the Nar, people. Yani He created the people for them. So So whoever he wills from amongst them will go to the paradise, and this is fadlan minhu. It is from Allah's favor, Allah's bounty. No one would enter paradise simply based on their deeds. But whoever entered paradise, it is the fadl of Allah. And whoever he wills would enter the hellfire, adlan minhu. And whoever entered the hellfire, whoever he willed to enter the hellfire, then it is adl. It is Allah's justice. Not because of any injustice, but justly, due to their own deeds, they would enter the paradise, and this is the justice of Allah. And every one of them would do the deeds that they have been created for. And they would be going on towards that which they have been created for. Concerning this point, Shaykh Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him, he said concerning the statement of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, لَا تَفْنَيَانْ أَبَدًا وَلَا تَبِيدًا, that the paradise and the hellfire, they will never cease to exist or go out of existence. He said no. Shaykh Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, rahimahullah, said no, that the hellfire in the next life is two fires. This is an issue which the Shaykh didn't discuss in this commentary, and it is one of the issues of importance about which the people differed. Know that the hellfire in the next life is two fires. There's a fire that would cease to exist after some time, and there's a fire that would continue to exist forever. It would never stop. The first of those two fires, it is the fire of the disobedient, sinful ones from amongst the Muslims. Yani, the disobedient, sinful believers who Allah didn't forgive, then they may be punished in a fire that would not be eternal. They would come out of it eventually. As for the other fire, it is the fire of the disbelievers and the mushrikeen, the pagan disbelievers, and this one is the one that would never cease to exist. This is a summary of what Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned in one of his books, and this is the truth about which there is no doubt. And it is the combination of the evidences which seem to suggest that the hellfire is eternal, and other evidences which seem to suggest that it's not eternal. The summary or the reconciliation of these two points is that there's a fire for the believers who committed sins and who were punished for it. Because they didn't repent in this life and Allah didn't forgive them, then they would be punished justly and they would come out of that fire. It would not be eternal. And there's a fire for the pagan disbelievers, the people who died on kufr and shirk. And that fire is the fire that is eternal. And he mentions some other points related to this, but this is the important point that we wanted to mention concerning it. The next point of Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah is point number 68. And it is also related to the matters of the next life, the events that would take place in the next life. He says, وَيُؤْتَى بِالْمَوْتِ فِي سُورَةِ كَبْشٍ أَمْلَحٍ فَيُذْبَحْ بَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ ثُمَّ يُقَالْ يَا أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ خُلُودٌ وَلَا مَوْتِ وَيَا أَهْلَ النَّارِ خُلُودٌ وَلَا مَوْتِ. Al-Imam al-Qudamah rahimahullah says that death would be brought forth in the form of a black and white ram, or as some of the people described it, as a beautiful ram. Perhaps the more correct description, as some of the scholars said, is that it would be a black and white ram. Ram, like a sheep, a big sheep, a ram. Then he said it would be brought forth in this form. Death would be brought forth in the form of a ram. Then it would be slaughtered, it would be killed in a place between the paradise and the hellfire. In between the paradise and the hellfire. Then it would be said, O people of Jannah, Ya Ahl al-Jannah, Khuludun wa la maut, eternity and no death. Yani, you will live forever in paradise. Eternity without death. Death has been slaughtered. There is no more death. Wa Ya Ahl al-Nar, and all people of the hellfire, Khuludun wa la maut, eternity and no death. Yani, they would be eternally in the hellfire, never to come out. They would not die in it. They would be in the hellfire forever. Here, Shaykh Muhammad, Hafidhahu Allah, may Allah protect and preserve him, says that the definition of al-maut, it means the ceasing of life. Yani, when the life ends, this is what we mean by al-maut. And every person has to die. Every person will taste of death. And it is a matter. It is something that death is not something that has physical form that you can see or touch. or smell. It is not something that has physical form, but it is, yani, it is a reality without physical form. It is not something that one can see, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day, He would make it into the form of something that has a body, that has a body which can be seen. He would give it a shape, the shape of a ram, so that it will be seen. And on that occasion, in front of the people, it will be slaughtered between the paradise and the hellfire. And this is based on the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu, that hadith reported by al-Bukhari. And he says here, in that hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that يُعْتَى بِالْمَوْتِ كَهَيَّةِ كَبْشْ أَمْلَحْ, that death will be brought forth in the shape or form of a black and white ram. فَيُنَادِي مُنَادِيًا أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ, then a caller will call out to the people of paradise. فَيَشْرَئِبُونَ وَيَنْظُرُونَ فَيَقُولُ هَلْ تَعْرِفُونَ هَذَا فَيَقُولُونَ نَعَمْ هَذَا الْمَوْتِ. Yani, the caller will call out to the people of paradise, and they would stretch forth their necks, looking carefully. And then it will be said, do you all know this? Do you know what this is? The ram that will be placed between the paradise and the hellfire? And they would say, yes, it is death. وَكُلُّهُمْ قَدْ رَآهُ, and all of them would have seen that ram. They would have seen it, and Allah would make them to know that it is death. And they would know what it is. ثُمَّ يُنَادِي يَا أَهْلَ النَّارِ فَيَشْرَئِبُّونَ وَيَنْظُرُونَ فَيَقُولُوا هَلْ تَعْرِفُونَ هَذَا فَيَقُولُونَ نَعَمْ هَذَا الْمَوْتِ. Then the caller would call out all people of hellfire, and they would also stretch forth their necks, and they would be looking carefully to see what are they being called for. And it will be said, do you know what is this? They will say, yes, it is death. وَكُلُّهُمْ قَدْ رَآهُ, and all of them would have seen it. Yani, all of the people of the paradise and all of the people of the hellfire would have seen the ram, the death in the shape of a ram. فَيُذْبَحْ ثَمَّ يَقُولُ يَا أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ خُلُودٌ فَلَا مَوْتٌ وَيَا أَهْلَ النَّارِ خُلُودٌ فَلَا مَوْتٌ. Then it will be said, it will be slaughtered, and it will be said, O people of paradise, eternity, and there is no death. And the people, it will be said, O people of hellfire, eternity, without death. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read this verse from Surah Maryam, chapter 19, verse 39, وَأَنذِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْحَشْرَةِ إِذْ قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ وَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Then after mentioning this statement that this would take place, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this verse from the Quran, which is in reference to that particular occasion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him, or order them, وَأَنذِرْهُمْ, warn them of the day of الْحَصْرَة, the day of grief, sorrow and regret, the day when the people, when the reality of the matter would be clear to them, and it would be a day of regret for the disbelievers, a day of sorrow, a day of grief, because now the reality would become clear that they are going to be in the hellfire, and it will be forever. There is no death. It is forever, eternal. And the matter would have been decided, وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ, while they had been unmindful, careless, they had been inattentive while they were in this world to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the call of the prophets and the people who called them to the way of Allah, to obey Allah and to avoid His prohibitions. They would have been unmindful and careless, and they did not believe. On that day, the people who were in ghafla, the disbelievers who didn't pay any mind in this world, on that day the matter would become clear for them. It would be يوم الحصرة, the day of regret and sorrow and grief. This hadith was mentioned by Imam al-Bukhari, and a similar hadith has also been mentioned concerning the description of paradise and hellfire on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, also in the Sahih of al-Bukhari. The first hadith was reported from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, and the second similar narration was reported by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. May Allah be pleased with them all. This is the end of what Imam ibn Qudama mentioned concerning having faith in everything which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has reported to us. And the matters related to those things which he has reported to us, the unseen matters, having faith in those things, whether of the past or of the future, are many, more than what he has mentioned here. These are some of the important things which have been mentioned. The next chapter, it is the chapter concerning حقوق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه, the rights of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions, the rights, those things that he is entitled to, those things that have been given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first statement, Al-Imam al-Qudam rahimahullah mentioned, point number 69, وَمُحَمَّد Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, khatam al-nabiyyin, and he is the seal of the prophets, wa sayyid al-mursaleen, he is the master of the messengers, he is the seal of the prophets, and he is the master, the leader of the messengers who have been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a message. لا يصح إيمان عبد حتى يؤمن برسالته, and the iman of any person would never be correct. No one's iman, faith, would be correct until they believe in the message, the risala that was sent by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the last of the prophets and messengers. ويشهد بنبوته, nor would his iman be correct or accepted until he testifies to the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he is both a messenger and a prophet. وَلَا يَقْضَى بَيْنَ النَّاسِ فِي الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَّا بِشَفَاعَتِهِ, and the resurrection except after the intercession or shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani the people will be standing on the mawqif, the place of gathering, waiting for the judgment to begin, but it would not begin until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to intercede with the great intercession. وَلَا يَدْخُلْ الْجَنَّةَ أُمَّةٌ إِلَّا بَعْدَ دُخُولُ أُمَّتِهِ, and no nation, the followers of no prophet, would enter the paradise until after the entry of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They would be the first ummah to enter the paradise. No one would enter until after the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. All of these are the exclusive, the any special favors that have been given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Also, in point number 70, Al-Imam al-Qudam rahimahullah says, concerning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is sahib liwa al-hamd, that he is the one, the companion or the owner of the flag of praise, the banner of praise, wal-maqam al-mahmud, and the praiseworthy station, the praiseworthy station, wal-hawd al-mawrood, and the fountain or the pond, the drinking place that the people would come to drink from, to quench their thirst from the thirst of the standing on Yawm al-Qiyamah. وَهُوَ إِمَامِ النَّبِيِّينَ وَخَطِيبُهُمْ, and he is also the imam, the leader of all prophets, and their spokesman, the khatib, the one who speaks for them. وَصَاحِبْ شَفَاعَتِهِمْ, and he is the one who would possess their shafa'ah, or their intercession. أُمَّتُهُ خَيْرُ الْأُمَمْ, and his followers, his ummah, or his nation, is the best of nations. وَأَصْحَابُهُ خَيْرُ أَصْحَابِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامِ, and his companions, رضي الله عنهم أجمعين, they are the best of the companions of any prophet. May Allah's peace be upon them all. And his companions are the best of the companions of all prophets. Here, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, حفظه الله, may Allah protect and preserve him, says, point number one, the best of creation, the best of Allah's creation in front of Allah is ar-rusul, the messengers. The best of creation are the messengers. Then as-siddiqun, the truthful, those who are fast, who hasten to testify to the truth of what the Prophet came with. Like Abu Bakr as-siddiq radiallahu anhu, who was quick to testify and to affirm whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed them of. Then ash-shuhada, the martyrs who died fighting in jihad in the lines, the ranks of the Muslims against the disbelievers. Then as-salihun.